It is so good to consecrate your life to the Lord Jesus, he who conquered sin and death. The grave is empty. He's truly risen, risen indeed, our Savior, and offers us life beyond this life. But while we're still in this life, we are in the seasons of life. And God is the God of all of these seasons. We began with spring and summer. We want to continue this morning with fall and winter, looking at how God is the God of these seasons and our life in particular. He who was, is, and will ever be. Everything has its seasons on earth. If you want to step back, actually, the universe has its seasons as well. From the start of creation, Garden Eden, how wonderful, how splendid it all was. God said it was very good. And then the curse of sin came in and death entered in, and it's been spiraling down ever since. It will one day reach its winter phase when God wraps up the universe here and creates a new heavens and a new earth. But while we're here on earth, he said that the seasons would continue. Spring and summer, fall and winter, sowing and reaping, and warmth and cold, all this would continue during this time here, which also reflects upon our lives. But in our changing lives and lives that are soon gone here, we need some stability. We need something to stand with, to have grace, and so on. And that's where Christ enters in, who is timeless. He was before the world began. Everything was created through him. John 1, that is, was created by him, for him. And we are to honor him, the risen one. In Revelation 1, verse 8 here, it also says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. This means also your life and mine. Who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. That is Christ our Lord. And he knows us. He knows us well. And we can look upon him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus the Christ. Our faith rests in him, and so should our lives. As we go through these fleeting seasons of life, how quickly they pass. You know, we were young, then we're middle-aged, and then we're, oh, I get the senior discount now. Oh, interesting. Whoa, how did I ever get here? Those were those old people, remember? Oh, look at them. They're so slow, those drivers, those seniors. And also my wife looks at me and you. Ah, yeah, I've gotten there too. Well, the wise Solomon wrote, Ecclesiastes 3, he begins there and says, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Summing up our lives here, there's a season for everything. What happens in life? Well, there's a time to be born. There's a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. There's a time to kill and a time to heal, he says, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh in this life. The seasons of life. A time to be born and a time to die. The end points of our lives. And how many days and years we have in between, only God knows and sets for us. Some have long lives, some are very brief. But he wants to be with us in that dash between the years so that we can glorify him in this life, get to know him, serve him with all our hearts, and be a blessing, and one day inherit eternal life, where all these seasons one day will end. Let's take a closer look here. I think we can all identify with this, the different seasons we see. You can see it on the trees, on the grasses, and so on. You know, the spring, the summer. Spring, everything is budding and blooming. The summer in full bloom. Oh, the fall, things are starting to change, those fall colors a bit. And then come the senior years. And which season of life are we in? We might ask ourselves that. Well, for some of us it gets easy. White hair? Oh, white snow? You're in winter, my friend. I've been there a long time, though, actually. This turned white some time ago. But it's not just that. Well, it's easy with the spring. That's the children, of course, right? The children, they are this in the spring of life. We saw them here. Then they become youth. Then they become young adults as they move on to adulthood and maturity and so on. Have families, get strong, and become parents themselves, or even then later grandparents, the seniors, and so on. Now, how many seasons will you get in your life? How long will they be? Well, that is up to the Lord. The seasons of your life can be compressed. Because as pastors, we know, in almost every decade of life, we have done funerals. Yes, we've done the little children. As I said, let them come to me. They're innocent. They're just going home. But why a little child got sick and died, we have this little casket, God only knows. We have had young people in tragic accidents or so on, and they're gone. Perhaps you remember in school, you know, I had a junior high school friend there, and his desk was empty for some time, and we all wondered, where is he? Where's our young fellow student here? Well, he died tragically, very tragically. He was gone in that young season of life. You know, some reach the 80s, the 90s, and they're still healthy. They persevere. If you've had funerals, 100, 105. But that's not given for everyone. Others are gone in their 50s and 60s and so on. Life can be cut short. Even the celebrities and the famous, the rich and famous, suddenly, where are they? I mentioned that story. When I turned 56, of course, that's a big number for me. Born May 6th, 5'6", 56, everything was lining up, and I turned 56. I thought, wow, God's going to do something now. I wasn't sure what that all meant. I just held on in faith, still here. But I noticed at that time, Steve Jobs was 56, head of Apple Computer, you know, Steve Jobs, millionaire, billionaire perhaps, company with thousands of employees, has the best medical help America can offer him, got pancreatic cancer, and died that same year. That's like 7 years ago now. He's gone. Why him? Well, why not you or me? Well, God only knows. But God puts us here that your life would honor him, that you'd serve him fully in all the seasons of your life, be they cut short, be they long. You have a purpose here in this short life to honor him. And you can do that in any season of your life. Even when we get older and so on. And Paul says, you know, the outward man, he's perishing. He's failing in so many ways. But the inner man is renewed day by day through the Spirit, through the Word. You can be strong. You can be young at heart, even in your 80s or 90s, because you know Jesus and you love him and you want to serve the risen one and he's with you. Because we're all on this life journey here together right now. We're still alive. We're on this journey on earth, and you have life. I have life. And how will the journey be? Well, why Solomon says that God has made everything beautiful in its time. Every season has its beauty. Every century will have its beauty. Every decade, every day, until the last great day when the Lord appears in the clouds and ends this universe. And then there will be a new heavens and earth. But why do we have this longing for more? You know, I mean, science tried to explain it all away. When I went to university, there was such a fervor over the evolution theory that Darwin had brought about, and everybody was explaining things that way. Or simply here, product of evolution, millions of years. So if that's the case, what's the point of my life? Well, the philosophy and psychologists couldn't give me an answer to that. You go find your own purpose in life. Because you're only here for If you take millions of years and you're here for 100 years, that's like a split second. And then you're gone. We don't know where you went. You're simply gone. And that is not much of an answer, is it? Survival of the fittest? Here today and gone tomorrow, no real purpose except what? I'm passing on some DNA to someone else, perhaps? There was no purpose. And if we don't, we have though a longing for that, do we not? He has put eternity in their hearts. The longing for the Lord, he's eternal. The longing to live and live forever, not just for a few fleeting years. And then they're just dust in the wind that is blowing. No, there's a purpose here. And I stood at many ruins as I traveled the world when I was young. And these magnificent Roman ruins. Caesar was mighty. He was king and emperor and God. Legions marched to his command. A mega empire stretching from England all the way down to the Middle East and beyond. And then I'm standing at these ruins thinking, what was the point of this? Where are the legions today of Rome? Where is Hail Caesar? Where are all these mighty works? And the wind was blowing, dust in the wind. And I realized my life would be the same if I didn't find something better than these fleeting things of this world. The money, the power, whatever it is, the joys that are so fleeting in this life of the flesh. You see, God has put eternity in our hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. There's someone higher. There's someone that gives us meaning beyond in this life and then beyond this life. So, we have the story of the rich young ruler. He comes running to Jesus one day. He had it all at the time. He's rich. He's young. He's in that young summer, spring season, and he's got wealth and maybe even fame. Accolades. But he comes to Jesus and he falls at his feet and he realizes this is not enough. He says, what must I do, Master, to inherit eternal life? The longing deep in the soul is to have a relationship with God, not just to be passing and gone, but to have something beyond this life. Well, life is fleeting. Solomon says, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. But this focuses back on God now and the life he can give us here. And in the Psalms, it's of course reflected. Those who are blessed, those that God wants to bless, the very first psalm. All these psalms are praises to God. They bring out the heart of a man of God or woman of God that wants to rejoice in God and has hope in him, has life in him, has a Savior that will be, even though everything else is gone, Jesus will remain, God will remain, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed is the man, that psalm begins, who walks in the counsel, not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's where we all were one time, remember? Last time we saw that as you become of age and you accountability, that sin will find you out. There's not one that is righteous, no, not one. We all fall into sin and are slain by the same in the spirit. But he who does not walk in that counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight or her delight is in the law of the Lord. Something abiding again, God's word. Heaven and earth pass away. But these words will never pass away, Jesus says. And in his law, he meditates day and night. There's his focus on God and his word. And what does the psalm then say? He or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Every season of life. Remember we heard, even though Timothy, you're young, don't let people mock you or put you aside, look down upon you. Serve the Lord with all your heart, with joy, and grow. And in every season of life, they bring forth fruit to honor their God, who they're on the vine. They're bringing fruit every season. And that leaf shall not wither, and whatever he or she does shall prosper. You found your purpose in God, as I did one day, and you're now blessed in Christ. And it's good to find him when you're young. I mentioned that. God doesn't wait till you're 65 to start knocking at your heart's door, or 85. I'm sure he's been working on that since you were a young boy or girl or a teenager. He sure did on me. But some hardened their hearts like my dad did for all those years. And towards his end at 75, he finally opened that heart's door. God didn't give up on him, and neither did we with prayer. But he wants us in the young years, because you can then grow so much, you mature so much, you're spared all of these awful things, perhaps addictions and things that can scar you for life. Not that Jesus can't set you free and heal you, but he wants you to come along. And then for all the other days and years you have, then you can prosper with him, be blessed by his hand, have a purpose in life. Glorify his name. Bear fruit that's abiding in his eyes, abiding. As you do that in my name, he says, I'm not going to forget those good deeds you did. You gave that water to that poor person. We have scripture at the back. You gave them a gospel. I used that gospel to speak to them in a difficult time, and they found me. I do not forget those things. On the great day of judgment, he's talking about these things. You visited me. You blessed me. But this is now in Christ, from the young season on, all the seasons. Now we're coming to a fall and winter season of life. Don't be afraid of this. Time of middle age, and of course those senior years come along. And we can't keep them. You know, it seems like yesterday we were young. We just had all our kids at home, and we're dealing with them. And I noticed over the years, my house kept getting bigger and bigger. Because they moved out and they got married, they went on their own. Huh. Bigger house. Where are they? Now we have grandkids. How did that happen? Well, it just keeps moving along, but move with the Lord. So as you get more mature in him, it's a time for us to become pillars of faith. Because the younger ones are looking at us. You know, are they just blowing in the wind? Are they running with the times, the zeitgeist? Are they part of that movement again? Or are they rooted firmly there by those waters, keep flowing in the household, and teaching the children what is good and holy, and watching what they watch so they don't get caught up in all these other things? And they are also active in the church, giving back. They're faithful there. You can count on them there to be there to help and serve. And it's not just a routine. Let's go to church. We forget about it the rest of the week. We're 24/7 Christians. We love the Lord here. We love him at home. We do devotions at home. We work together in this. And as we get older, we mentor the youth, the young people. We're trying to bring them along, not discourage them, not knock them off their path, but encourage. Well, at times we have to exhort as well and keep things on track. But we're trying to mentor them. And just like Paul with Timothy and others behind him, Paul knows his time is coming. He's got to mentor Timothy. We have godly parents and grandparents. And, you know, the imprint that he can make, we still go back to grandparents. I saw my grandfather, mom's side, Opa Mats. I saw him once. He came through in Canada. They live in Germany. He was old at the time, and he got older, and there wasn't this ability to travel. He passed on. He only came to Mizzabi once as a young man. He was in our house. And he gave me a Bible, German Bible. And somehow I knew this man has something special. Like, he kind of walks with God. He's praying for us. And that legacy just never left me. He was a preacher in the war years and so on. And here I'm a preacher now? How did all this happen? You see, they were praying and they were blessing these generations to come. And God is listening to this and he's working with this. And he works with it in his time in a way. And then later on you see, wow, That is really special. And what God can do is something small and make something beautiful in your life, and so on. We walk with others. We invest in others that are coming along, following our steps here. We need to do that. We give back to the community, to people around us here. We want to be active and set the path for those to come. Well, Paul did that, and we see that in his letters, especially to Timothy and so on, because the fall and winter season of life would come for him as well, for the apostles. Most of them died a martyr death. As far as we know, only John grew old and wrote the letters in the castaway in the island of Patmos. The others cut short by persecution and so on. And in those days, even if you go back a few hundred years, you know, people living to be 50, 60, whoa, that was old. You know, the average lifespan was very, very low. We had now have been blessed with a longer, it seems, lifespan. But what Paul was trying to say to those around him is to learn and grow in the footsteps of Jesus here. In 2 Timothy 3 here, he looks back at Timothy. He exhorted him to grow in faith and in doctrine and the truth and be an example. And now he says, you know, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life. Look at the mentor with the mentee here. My purpose, my faith, that long suffering. You followed these steps as I followed Christ with love, perseverance, in persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me. And out of them all, the Lord has delivered me. And Timothy can look at Paul and say, God was with him. God showed us so much through Paul. And he gave himself as a sacrifice for the church and for us. And, you know, soon he's gone. As far as we know, executed by Caesar. But then what happens to the church? It simply dissipates and is gone? No, Timothy, Titus, and Priscilla, Aquila, and all these other names, they start to step in into that place and say, no, the Lord's church will carry on with us. Here we are. We're here to serve now. We're going to follow these steps here with Jesus. Now, you see all the adversity there that is mentioned during that time? And he adds, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Our memory verse right there. All of us. Difficulties. Perhaps not that outside persecution as in their time or in China or Muslim countries where there's such active adversity. But even when we face adversity, why that? Well, God wants to see, first of all, do you still love me, Peter? You love me? Will you stay true to me when difficult days come? Will you have faith in the difficult days like Job did in his time? Will you trust me? And if you do, I will help you. You'll flex your faith muscles and you'll become stronger. You'll have deeper roots, more fruit. And that's what the others that are younger in the earlier seasons of life are looking towards. And they shall be blessed by your example that I can work through you. Now, when the adversity comes, people drop their cross. That's a possibility. They lay it down. They walk away, as Demas did once. And Judas denied. Judas went away. Others become so complacent, especially in the Western world, they just get lukewarm and everything wilts. There's no fruit. He says it withers on the vine. He takes the branch away. So we can show both sides of this, but we want to show what Paul says here because God wants us to grow and not wither. He wants us in the fall and winter seasons to really be an example to others around us. If we didn't have those examples, how would we ever kept going in ministry or even got here? But we had these men and women of faith around us, not just our family praying for us, but others as well. And the point of this is, as Paul writes to Ephesians, to mature in Christ, to serve there. We're not isolated monks. We're not hidden somewhere. We're together as a family of God. And what happens there? Well, Paul says this should happen. The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Where people are striving for the excellence of the Christ. Becoming more like him, loving him more, showing others this is the way. We need to learn from him. Why? You see, Satan wants to make us weak, divide us, conquer us, mess us up with false doctrine, you name it. But look here. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, one in him, growing in him, seeing him first, to a perfect man. Paul, what high standards you set. But that's what Jesus wants, to aspire to this. Not to a, you know, a so-so Christianity. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I don't think any of us will ever get there in this life. But he wants us to aspire towards these. These are high goals. Higher than when I went for my master's degree of business and so on. Higher goals than this big job title or wealth or fame. The fullness of Christ growing to that stature where God looks at you and he sees Jesus in us. And God smiles over his people. And if you read Acts 2 in the morning church, what made them strong, they prayed together and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were one soul in one body, it seemed. And they shared and they gave and you could persecute them. They were bold. They stood up. Because the seasons of life are there. And as you begin the journey with Christ, that is good. Aber wir können nicht in die Kinderschuhe stecken bleiben. We can't stay in the shoes of the children, Paul says. That's what he says here. That we should no longer be children. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every kind of wind of doctrine. We don't know what the Bible really teaches. We don't know the faith we have. We don't know why we believe what we believe. Now, as we begin that journey, yes, we're in grade one, so to speak, kindergarten. But Paul says, let's move on here. Let's move forward. You only have one life. Learn. Learn from Jesus. You learn from the Word. You study this wonderful Word to become more like him. To love him, to serve him. What a calling that is. What a purpose in life that was when I found that purpose. I'd searched the world over from one end to the other, and I never could find anything abiding. Only dust in the wind and teachings of men and things that misled. Until I found Jesus. And all of a sudden I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but I'm found. I found amazing grace in Christ. And Christ then opens up this way for you to grow. He doesn't want you to just be those little children of faith, but to grow in this. Speaking the truth in love, Paul says, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, who is Christ. Growing up in Christ in all things. Mature believers. Do you know your doctrine, your faith? Have you a solid faith in him? That's what he wants us to aspire to. And each process of growth can be different in every life. I mean, when Saul became Paul, things exploded. Because of the background he had in faith, rooted through the Pharisees and the teachings he had and so on, he immediately recognized Jesus as the Christ, and he knew the whole foundation of that Old Testament that flowed into the New, and off he went preaching. Now, that's not going to happen for each of us. We need a little more time. We need a little more growth, perhaps. But don't worry. That's his season. And it can move fast. Ours might go slower, but let's be sure. And fall and winter, of course, it's a time to mentor others, to invest in others. And the Proverbs say, without counsel, the plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. There's your counselors, your mentors, and so on. Men and women of faith that are strong in the Lord, praying for you, looking to somehow help you. And it can just be an encouraging word, a smile, or how comforting to know, hey, I'm praying for you. Praying for you. And you can see people at difficult times, well, come alongside them, listen to their grief, their issues, and comfort them with prayer or perhaps a scripture, and so on. Because we are to counsel others as we get older. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. When somebody says something in the right time, the right season, how important that is for our hearts, to be encouraged, to be helped. We've experienced that over the years, you know. In Mexico one time, we were so finished. There was so much going on. There was not just a big church to take care of. There was a big school right there on the Hof next to us that ran all week with 200-some kids and all these teachers, and all these things happened to us, and I could barely get off the couch anymore. I was so tired, didn't know where to go. And one morning, this dear sister knocks on the door. She's standing there, and she says, I prayed for you today, and I found a poem for you. And it was a beautiful poem that spoke right to our situation, that God will take care of you, God will bring you up again, God will bless you, and we could stand up in faith again and go on just by that simple gesture. Now notice, the way of life always winds upward for the wise in God, heaven bound, but they may turn away from hell below. So there's two paths here, the broad path, small way of life. We encourage people to stay on that life path, the small one, and not get discouraged, not get misled. We know where the broad way goes. It goes down into a place of destruction there. So Paul said to Timothy, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He says now to this young man of faith, you preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. What does he mean by that? Well, you can't be politically correct. You can't just talk the world's talk all the time. If it stands on the word, you can speak that word. And if it's different, then no. No, we don't kill the unborn. We're not going to get into cannabis. We're not going to, oh, well, this person is so sick, let's help them die. We don't do these things because that's in God's hands. We know better. So we stand in season or out of season with the world, but you preach the word, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Because Timothy, you've moved into fall. My winter is upon me. It's your time to go forward. This is 2,000 years ago, and the same words apply today. The same ministry is active. The same growth is happening for those that love Jesus around the world to this very day. Because God is above all the seasons, and yet he is using them and us in those times until our last day. Now, our last day, we don't know how soon that will come. But Paul knows he's got to finish the race well. Well, if you're in a race and you're running for the prize, you're not sleeping on the sidelines. You haven't run off course. You haven't gone back. You're focused to get the prize, to reach it there. So he says that same word here. He has in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4. He lets Timothy know that he's already being poured out as a drink offering, and at the time of my departure is at hand. He sensed that. God showed him that he would be bound. He'd be led away, and his time was coming. So he's older. He's in the winter season. He realizes, we all realize at some point our mortality is there. Yes, we can die at any time. But as we get older, then we realize perhaps it's just around the corner. What does Paul say? But I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And that inspires Timothy, Titus. That inspires other churches he ministered at. Look at this man of faith run for Christ. He gave it his all. He blessed us where he could. Even though he may have made missteps, God still helped him. And he's still focused on the prize, and he is running. And as you get closer to sickness and different things, you realize you know, we're mortals. Life is very fragile. People drive out in the morning, especially in those busy highways we used to live at, the 400 series in the Toronto-Hamilton area. And almost every day, someone's gone. There's a car pileup. Something happened. There was drinking. There was driving. Someone got hit. And these aren't just old people that get hit. And they're gone. But with God, we're not simply gone. Paul continues, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. I've been running the race with Jesus. He's going to give me the crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And notice here, and not only to me, not only to the best of the apostles, no, but also to all who have loved his appearing, all who are in Christ, who are running the race. And if Paul can run it faster and further than you and me, that doesn't matter at all. We run at our pace, in our time, in the way God shows us. And wherever he says, well done, faithful servant, it's time now, he simply takes us home. We run into a place called heaven, a beautiful place, running into heaven. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes here. The winter season has arrived, definitely by the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Life is really winding down. Someone has grown very old, and he knows how it is when these days come. So he says here, Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Start in those early seasons to run and walk with me. Before what happens? The difficult days will come. The years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Why is that? Well, in Ecclesiastes 12, if you keep reading, you see all the different health failings that are coming along. Because if we sin, you shall die. In our hearts, we have eternal life and we can live forever. He'll give us a new body one day. But this outward flesh is failing. He says, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. You know, it's hard to even hold that pen and write anymore. Strong men bow down. Why? They can't get straight again too well. Those who look through the window, things grow dim. The eyes are failing. Oh, there's things to be heard, but the sound, it's not there. I can't seem to hear things properly. These years have come. And if God gives you more of those years, it just gets weaker and weaker, because there's a time we must move on. No one stays. There's the 105, the 110, maybe even 115-year-olds, but after that, they're all gone. Another generation has passed. So remember, your Creator, before that silver cord is loose, that silver cord of life, the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. That's the last day, the last hour when life is gone here. The body says no more. And then we quote this at funerals. We say, from dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's the final step of life here. But notice here, the spirit goes on. It has life beyond this life. And in Christ, it has eternal life here. Here and then on that last day. The soul even longs to be with God, because this is failing so miserably, so much. I've heard older saints say, it's too much. Lord, just let me go home. And this time will come for us. Paul even said, having desired to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better than anything you can imagine here, he says. Far, far better. We've covered now briefly those four seasons of life. And at the end here he says, why, Solomon, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there's a time for every purpose and for every work. So what has been the purpose of our lives? Have we found it in Him? Focused on Christ, His Word, His Spirit, and that my home, my goals, my family, my work, my church is in Christ alone. And with prayer and faith, He guides me well. He guides me sure as I move through these seasons of life. And we're all moving. We keep moving, week by week, year by year. Well, what happens when you get old? Perhaps some might think, well, they really can't contribute much anymore. Now, some of our dear old saints, we've seen that with Alzheimer's, there isn't much left. That was so sad to see my wife's parents go that way. But it was interesting, even though her mom couldn't even identify her sister next to her, they were now in their late 80s or 90s, she didn't know who that was. She didn't know who Doris was anymore. It had gone so far down. Yet, Doris would take her to a piano there in that home, and she'd start to sing these songs of the saints, the German ones, and all of a sudden she started singing with her. She could still sing about the Lord. It was very interesting. But notice what this is the normal way that God sees us when we get old. Psalm 92. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Okay? We're planted, we're growing, we're flourishing. Now notice this. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. I've heard some of the older saints say, well, I can hardly move, I can't do anything anymore. But sister, you're here. Are you still praying for us and your children and the church? Yeah, I am. Well, I say that's beautiful because those prayers are ascending to God as you pray. You are still fresh and flourishing in the Lord, even during that time, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. No talk of euthanasia. Some of those dear saints in the homes we visited, that one brother, he could not get out of the wheelchair. He could barely move his head anymore. But he says, don't get so worried about me. I'm going to have a new body soon. I'm going to be praising God and moving like you've never seen before. And so I used to go to the hospital in this home in Edmonton to cheer him up. And I came away smiling and blessed by his faithful witness in that wheelchair. I think he had MS and was wasting away. But our living testimony, how is it? Through all the seasons of life, in every household, the years may take their toll, and we can always focus on God and do our part, be it something very small and so on. God has a place for us. Some say, well, is it good to retire? Well, can you retire? Well, but in the service of the Lord, there we never retire. We might get laid off, we retire here from working, but God will help us to see what we can do even in those last years that we have here on earth. And you know what? They're not so bad. I get a senior's discount now and different things, but it's not just that. But it's to see that children and grandchildren want to serve God and that we can pray for them and show them a good way. And in all these seasons, God is with us. Remember, yesterday, today, and forever? And then there's one more step to be taken, right? There's one more season to come, and it's the best season. We step from this life into life everlasting. We're forever home. It's called heaven, and that season never ends. It doesn't even have a beginning anymore nor an end. That's what Jesus promises us if we're faithful. And he's waiting to receive us with the saints that have gone ahead of us, that are waiting, that cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12, they're already cheering us on and waiting for us. Come on home. Finish well. And let God bless the generations to come. As long as he tarries, and he too will call us home one day. God bless you and give you joy this season, whatever season of life you're in. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, let's sing a final song here. It's in our hymnal. If you could open to 634. God will take care of you in all these seasons of life. Surely will. And if possible, why could we stand to the singing of the song, 634. And I'd like to ask two brothers to pray with us, Brother Victor Pankretz could pray with us. And, Nikolai Harder, okay? Let's sing the first three verses, pray, and then we'll finish. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, over all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days the wind doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, over the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care. Will be denied. God will take care of you. He'll take care of you through every day, over all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Let us pray.